Well, good morning once again. One thing I should announce, right after church, Pastor Brian, Dan Rabbit, Scott Orne, and myself are heading to Canada. I'm going to go help up at the camp there in north of Nipigon. So you can pray that my tires stay on. I have issues with tires. Camper tire came off, did $4,000 of damage. Then I went camping a couple weeks later, and my bearing went out on my boat trailer, and so I pulled that into a guy's yard. And so I did check the tires on the truck. We should be able to make it to International Falls, and we'll see what happens from there. But if anything comes up, you can, you know, give Jerry Graff a call or Tim Canary, anything with the church building, Jay Young, Scott Algren, or Kevin McCarroll. But we'll be probably, I won't have any reception from probably 2 o'clock today until Thursday evening sometime. So we will not be reachable, and hopefully we'll get there safe with all our tires on. So just wanted to make note of that. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs again as we continue this study. And last week, let me get this thing turned on. We started looking at the theme of parenting, and I'm going to stick with that theme this week. It's a hard subject, a little bit of a touchy subject as we get into discipline. But last week we looked at the world's view of children, and then we looked at the biblical view of children. Now, the world's view, we saw the humanistic approach and the behavioristic approach. So the world's view is, you know, have children if you want. Children can be a burden. And the humanistic approach is children are basically good and discipline is bad. The behavioristic approach, children are a product of their environment. And although there's an element of truth there, why do kids act out? Why do people in general act out? It's not because we're a product of our environment, and we're certainly not basically good. We act out, we misbehave because we're all sinners, and that's the biblical view. Biblical view, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a blessing, and yet there's this need for discipline. And Proverbs says, spare the rod, spoil the child. The world's view, oftentimes, okay, you have a disorder. That's why you're disobedient. That's why you don't pay attention. That's why you don't listen. You have a disorder, and they want to medicate you. What's God's word say? We're sinners, and we need to be redeemed. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by nature. And so we began to look at that, and then we jumped into this need for discipline, and that's the parents' responsibility largely. It's the parents' responsibility. But I want to continue on with this theme today. But besides blaming behavior on the brain, people also blame, society likes to blame, and maybe you've heard this, people say, well, you can hear adults say it, I am the way I am because of my parents. And that's that behavioristic view. Everything that's wrong with me, it's my dad's fault. Now, again, you can be influenced by your parents, but what's wrong with this? First of all, it's not biblical. What's wrong with me is because I'm a sinner. But if somebody said that to me, I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, I mean, go to the cemetery, and you're going to talk to a headstone, you're going to blame my dad. Because if your problems are because of me, then my problems are because of my dad, and then eventually you're going to have to go over to Sweden and blame his dad, and you're going to have to follow this all the way back and blame Adam and blame God. It's God's fault. It just doesn't work. The reason I am the way I am is because I'm a sinner, and I need to respond to God's word. Now, I do recognize, and I want to make this clear, and I stated it last year, I do recognize, as we talked about disorders last week, and the world's view is, you know, blame it on the brain and give them some kind of a medication. I do recognize that there are, at times, there's chemical imbalances. I do recognize that there may be some mental handicap there, but by and large, the misbehavior in people is because of sin. And oftentimes it's a lack of discipline. I know, and as I walk through this today, you can discipline your kid, you can follow biblical principles, and kids can still rebel. I also understand that. So every time you see a kid throwing a fit, it's not because their parents don't discipline them. Sometimes they're brats. That's why Dr. Jim Berg said sometimes you understand why animals eat their young. And they just misbehave. But as I look at this, I'd be foolish not to realize, I'm going to go through this because we looked at this last week, looking at parenting in Proverbs and our springboard there. But I realize there's a dilemma. Why the need to come back this week and talk about discipline? And this is a really touchy subject. And there's a lot of contention when you talk about discipline. Child discipline is a hotbed of contention. You can go to here we have a church family, and within church families you have different types of discipline, different levels of discipline, and you can have homes that are very strict, you can have homes that are very lenient, and everything in between. You can have very hard discipline, very soft discipline, you can have inconsistent discipline, and it is a hotbed of contention when I bring this subject up. Maybe some left here last week mad at me. That's all right. I've had people mad at me before, but if you're mad at me because it's something God's Word said, then too bad. If I'm wrong, then let's have a conversation. But there's this contention. And so we have this dilemma, you have this contention, you also have contradiction. Of course, you have both ends of the spectrum between the humanistic approach and the biblical approach, and you understand that contention. But if we sat down and just started having a discussion among believers on discipline, there would probably be, in this congregation, there would be some contradiction. How many here have read James Dobson's book, The Strong-Willed Child? Okay, several people have read that. Paul Tripp has a book, Shepherding the Child's Heart. How many have read that? And so we've read those books when our kids were younger, and I believe there's a lot of good stuff in there. But in preparing between last week and this week, this message, even Christian people would look at, they had critical things to say about shepherding a child's heart. They'd say, well, and one critique of this was this guy, they had adopted kids, and they said, well, our kid has a disorder. He's not disobedient, he has a disorder. And so among Christian people, there was this contradiction. And so you have this dilemma. And even the book of Proverbs is often brought into this debate. People read that, spare the rod, spoil the child, and they're talking about beating kids with the rod, and that right away there's this, and people even say, and some people that claim to be Christians say, well, see, this is Solomon, it really isn't inspired. Now, I wouldn't even agree to disagree with that. This is God's Word that we're looking at here in Proverbs, and it is inspired. But people say, well, that's just the words of Solomon, and look at his kids. They were rebellious. This is God's Word, and when we follow these principles, they work. And so, even though Proverbs is at times looked at negatively, it is the Word of God, but there are reasons for concern when it comes to this topic of discipline. And that reason for concern is abuse instead of discipline. I would be foolish not to recognize that abuse takes place. In fact, I don't know if you saw on the news this week, I just heard it yesterday. In Red Wing, Minnesota, the authorities were notified, Child Protection Services was notified. There was a family, they had four kids, all under the age of 10. And they went over there, and these kids were locked up in makeshift cages for 13 to 14 hours a day. They were at times they were not given food or use of bathroom facilities. Their hands had been duct taped behind their back. This is not discipline. That's abuse. And so are there reasons for concern when you hit this hotbed topic? Of course there's abuse out there. Here's a few statistics. Over 4 million child abuse cases in 2022. Okay, now I know that all of these child abuse cases, I know that all the times that CPS was notified, they're really not all of them were abuse. There's times that people think that you shouldn't spank your kids and they'll call CPS on you. That's not child abuse. So out of these 4 million cases, I know that they're not all legit. But if you look at this, 7.5 million children were involved in these child abuse cases. And some of this won't be in your bulletin. 89% of the victims were reportedly abused by one or both of their parents. And so most of the abuse cases, at least these calls that come in, these 7.5 million children, 89%, so almost 90% of the time, it's one of the parents or both of the parents are the ones that are accused of abusing the children. And you know, we have a deputy here, and he sees, and you've probably seen some of this stuff as you're called. 145,449 children receive foster care services. Okay, 145,449 children were put into foster care services. 415,445 victims were neglected. 95,026 victims were physically abused. And 59,044 were sexually abused. 38,030 victims were psychologically abused. And here's one you can't argue. I guess that's in your bulletin there. But an estimate, 1,990 children died from abuse and neglect. And 66.1% of the fatalities were younger than 3 years old. And so is there reason for concern? And the answer to that is yes. I mean, at some point, there's a line that goes from discipline to abuse. And we'd be foolish not to recognize that. But do we throw out discipline because there's abuse? Do we say, well, you can't discipline because that because of this problem of abuse? And the answer is no. We got to follow biblical principles. There's one more thing here. Alcohol and drugs compound the problem of abuse. There's a drug and alcohol problem, and a lot of that abuse comes over into the child abuse. There's a carryover. People are abusing alcohol, drugs, and they end up abusing their kids. So I don't deny that there's reason for concern. There's times when abuse takes place, and that is wrong. But we don't throw out proper discipline because of abuse. So we need to look at answers from God's Word. And I want to look at the biblical solution today as we look at Proverbs. So let's pray and then we'll dig into this. Lord, we thank you for your Word once again. These things that we have, these levels of discipline that we see in Proverbs that we can look to and follow. And so Lord, give us wisdom, understanding of your Word, and help us to apply these things. Some here that still have children in their home and they're walking through this discipline and these levels right now. Others of us have already gone through this, and yet we have grandkids, and so we're helping our children walk through this. So once again, Lord, I pray that we would heed the instruction from your Word and understand and see the importance of biblical discipline. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this biblical solution, spare the rod and spoil the child is part of the solution. However, the book of Proverbs, when taken as a whole, encourages its reader to use multiple levels of discipline. physical discipline is a level of discipline, but it's not the only level. So the rest of our time here in these 25 minutes, I want to look at different levels of discipline in the book of Proverbs. And so the first level here that I want to look at is to encourage proper behavior, to encourage good behavior. And this is seen in the words teach and instruct as you look at Proverbs. We're to teach our kids what is right. Teach them what is right. Show them by example what is right. You know, we can be quick to point out bad behavior, right? And we're quick to see that. Don't do that, don't do that. But are we pointing out good behavior and right behavior? Are we modeling that behavior? And in Proverbs chapter 1, hear my son. So there's teaching going on. Hear my son, your father's discipline or your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's instruction, for they are a graceful wreath upon your head and ornaments around your neck. So he's teaching his children about the blessings that come from right behavior. So teach your kids good behavior. Results in blessing. It results in this ornament around your neck. Wise parents encourage a child to see the benefits of good behavior. Proverbs 3, 13 and 15. How blessed is the person who finds wisdom and the one who finds understanding. For its profit is better than that of silver, its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Again, you see the benefits of good behavior. Parents are teaching and instructing their children the benefits of good behavior. Proverbs 4, 7 and 8, the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. So being proactive in showing your kids the benefits of good behavior and modeling that good behavior. You know, if you go down to Woodland Bank, you put $10 in there, you open an account, I put that 10 bucks in, I can't go in and withdraw 100 bucks the next day. Why not? I haven't made enough deposits. We need to be making deposits in our kids' lives. Oftentimes, parents are withdrawing all the time. They're just pulling the negative out all the time, instead of giving the positive and pointing out the positive of good behavior here. So teach and instruct. Proverbs 1, 10 through 15. If sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood and ambush innocent without cause. And it goes on, my son, don't walk in the way with them. And so there's this warning, this exhorting. So encourage proper behavior, praise good behavior. Level 2 is explain and exhort, point out bad behavior. Okay, don't envy a man of violence, don't choose any of his ways, for the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. Explain bad behavior. A wise parent points out the negative consequences of sin that lie in the path of one who chooses to do wrong. Help them see the long-term consequences of bad behavior, of sinful behavior. Proverbs 1, 18 and 19, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessor. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2, hear, O son, the discipline of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. What happens if you abandon my instruction? It's going to lead to these consequences. And so another level of discipline is pointing out, hey, if you do these things, here's the consequences that'll come. Here's what's going to happen. Proverbs 4, 14 to 16, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil people. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. And there's benefit. You can drive through town and you can see some bad behavior. You know, you might be on a trip and you might see bums sleeping under a bridge. And that's opportunity to point to your kids and say, you know what, that was somebody's son and daughter. How do you think they ended up there?
What do you think happened that brought them to the point that they're out begging for food and sleeping under a bridge? See, your choices, here's where your choices can lead you. Here's where bad behavior can lead you. And so you talk to them about good behavior and the benefits, but you also warn them about bad behavior and the consequences. Don't be too proud to share from your own life. Here's some choices I made, and here's the consequences I faced. Or you might have family members, and you can say, hey, here's the choices they made, and that's why they're facing these consequences. Explain to them. Exhort them. Point out bad behavior. Show them the consequences. And then the next level 3, is rebuke or reprove. And notice, when we get to this level, there's less verses about it. Why is that? Because if I encourage proper behavior, and if I explain and exhort bad behavior, I shouldn't have to rebuke or reprove as much. And if I'm doing my job and the child's actually listening, because we know that sometimes kids don't listen, I'm not going to have to keep going to these other levels. But when that kid does disobey, when there is rebellion, the wise parent knows to use rebuke properly. Proverbs 3:12, whom the Lord loves, he corrects, or he chastens, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. This word correct is the Hebrew word yakan. It's translated to reprove in other passages. Proverbs 4:24-25, he who says to the wicked, you are righteous, peoples will curse him, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. There's correction that's taking place here. Attitude is starting to show here. The first two are just, you're pointing out, this is good behavior, this is bad behavior. Good behavior brings blessing, bad behavior brings consequences. You're just pointing that out. But when you hit this level, there's maybe an attitude starting to show up, and you actually have to do some correcting. You have to, you're talking to this kid, and you're sitting down, and he's in trouble. There's some correction that's taking place. There's an attitude that's developing. And then the next level here is physical discipline. And we come to this level when these other levels haven't worked. And maybe there might be times where, and you jump to this level, maybe you can't rebuke or reprove. And if Johnny's out, I don't know why I always use the word Johnny. Don't name your kid Johnny, because he's always an example. But, Johnny's out playing in the street. Why do you spank him? What happens if he goes out there again? And you don't want this kid doing this again. He has to learn this lesson quick, because his chances, he might not get a second chance. And you gotta wake him up quickly to this. But you come to this physical discipline, and hopefully, again, if levels 1, 2, and 3 have taken place, that you don't have to do this very often. But you come to this level, and this misbehavior is going on, and it warrants more severe consequences. Particularly if there's a pattern to this sin. But remember, when it comes to this, remember this: it's for the benefit of the child. This child's getting a spanking for his own good. Did your dad ever say that to you? No, this is for your own good. I thought to myself, I don't believe this. I didn't believe it at that moment. I do now. But it's for that child's own good. You're teaching them that there's consequences to bad behavior. And if this kind of behavior continues, the consequences are going to get bigger. It's for that kid's own good. So it's for the benefit of the child. It's under control. And it's out of love. And this physical discipline, it should be out of love, not out of anger. It's under control. Now, when I look at this too, I mean, we had We have four kids. They're all grown up. They're out of the home. But we had four kids, and those four kids responded. All four of them responded in different ways. If we had, and you could say to one, go to your room. Man, she loved going to her room. Because that's what she wanted to do, is sit and read a book anyhow. You tell another one to go to their room, end of the world. Because, and if you made that one read a book, didn't like it. Spanking was very effective for some, not effective for others. And some would cry before you even spanked them. And so you had to figure out what level of, and what type of discipline was the most effective. But it had to be for the benefit of the child, had to be under control, had to be out of love. And what's the purpose? To curb the bad behavior so they don't continue to do it. But Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there's hope and do not desire his death. In other words, if you don't discipline your child and they continue in that direction, it could end up in death. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. And you dealing out that discipline is the loving thing to do, because you may just keep that child from death. Parents that neglect, kids that don't listen, it could end up that their life is cut short, presumably from bad behavior. Proverbs 13:24, the one who withholds his rod hates his son. You don't discipline your child. If you don't spank your child, it says you hate your son. The loving thing to do is to discipline them. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently, consistently. Proverbs 23:13-14. And by the way, if your kid doesn't meet, when it says do this diligently, don't go out and spank him every day whether he needs it or not, because you're withholding the rod. That's not what it's saying. But when it demands this physical discipline, you need to discipline him out of love. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You will strike him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol, from hell. The importance. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. This implies that if a child doesn't have his will curbed, it will become an uncontrollable thing and bring shame to his family. He'll be a menace to society. Derek Kidner says this, to withhold discipline is neither a compliment nor a kindness, and the opportunity passes. This level of punishment is reserved for the time when other forms of punishment have not been successful and the destructive pattern of sinful behavior still remains. You have to do the loving thing. As I stated last week, the discipline is the main responsibility of the parents. But at some point, if that child is rebellious, at what point, there's a point comes where you can't bend that kid over your knee anymore. And there comes this point where you get to level 5. Oh, by the way, it needs to be grievous enough to curb the behavior. We talked about that last week. It doesn't say spare the time out, spoil the child. It says spare the rod, spoil the child. A spanking's supposed to hurt. To make that child remember, I don't want to do this again. But you come to this next level. Consequences with government and or God. There comes a point where I've done this in 15 years in the pastorate, I probably have done this twice, where there is an older child that is just out of control, rebellious. And so I've come to the point where I've said to the family, you know what, if this kid does it again, call the cops. And what's the natural response of a parent when you hear that? I don't want to call the cops on them. And we don't want to do that. But And by the way, a parent can go all through all these steps and do it right, but a kid has a choice, right? A kid can still make that choice to rebel. And if you follow this, the principle is a child won't depart from it. But it's not a promise. A kid can still rebel even though the parent's disciplining. But there comes a point, it's like, maybe the parent's in danger. And this kid is not listening. And so I've like I said, probably twice in 15 years, I've said, you know what, does it again, call the cops. I don't want to call the cops. If this juvenile can face consequences before he ends up in the county jail or the state pen, is that a good thing? Yeah. And so there might be a time where you say, you know what? Okay, I can't. There's nothing I can do anymore at this point. I can't administer the physical discipline. The cops are involved. And maybe that child ends up going to a juvie center and faces consequences. And you pray that a lesson is learned. But at some point, whether you do that or not, if that kid's still rebellious, the cops might bring him home, right? And so when kids make adult decisions, they face adult consequences. And at some point, that's out of your hands. And so if you make adult decisions, you're going to face adult consequences. And you're going to face fines, and you're going to face juvie center or county jail. That school shooting that just took place, that kid's being tried as an adult. And that was, and you read on that, very dysfunctional home. That was, you know, there was probably no discipline until a boiling point hit, and then there was abuse, there was neglect. But that kid's facing major consequences. At some point, government might get involved. Do you want that for your kid? We'd all say no. How can you help with this not happening? Discipline your kid. And again, I understand that they can make choices even though you discipline right. But level five can come in. The other thing I'd say, because government and or God can bring consequences. But I'd say this also, don't pull your kid's hand away from it getting slapped. Parents often bail their kids out, whether it's from consequences at school or if the cops bring them home, parents bail them out. Don't do that. Let them face consequences. That is what's going to curb their behavior. But you come to this next level, and it could even be death. And this is not the parent's responsibility. But Scripture talks about a sin unto death. You see that in 1 Corinthians 11:30. There's kids, there's adults that make choices, there's kids that make choices, and they die at a young age. Would we all recognize that? And you can tell your kid, you know what, don't do this. Don't go out, don't drink alcohol, don't drive, don't use drugs, and what do? They do it. And they end up dead at a young age. Adults do it. Consequence of death. And there is a sin unto death. There's a point in time where you continue to rebel and it consequences aren't good. Whether it's death from driving drunk, using drugs, or capital punishment. And again, that's not the parent's call, that's the government. There are states that have capital punishment. And so these levels of discipline that take place, what should we be doing as parents? Teaching and instructing our kids, hey, this is pleasing to God. This is good behavior, and this is the blessing that comes from good behavior. This is what God wants. These are the benefits of good behavior. Then you teach, this is bad behavior, this is wrong behavior. Why? Because God says so, and here are the consequences of bad behavior. So you're teaching and instructing. And when disobedience comes, you're rebuking and you're reproving. And there's consequences. And then there's physical discipline that takes place to curb their behavior because you love that kid and you don't want them to face this next level of discipline. You want to save them from that heartache and from that trouble. Because if that behavior is not curbed, they will be a menace to society. They will bring you shame, and they're going to face consequences that sometimes will last a lifetime. And so we come to the so what. Wise parents will use proper levels of discipline to curb improper behavior. Ultimately, why do people act out? Why do they? It's because of sin. That's why we misbehave. It's sin. And wise parents will use proper levels of discipline to curb improper behavior. Wise parents start early with age-appropriate disciplinary techniques and are consistent and diligent to follow through. You know what drives me crazy? Is hearing parents say, if you do it again, if you do that again, you're going to get a spanking. Four more times. I told you if you do that again, or counting. Johnny, there I'm going to use Johnny again. One, two, three, four. He's finishing eating the cookie, and he gets it crammed in his mouth before you hit five or six. What does Johnny need to learn to do? Obey when? What? What's he need to learn to do? Obey right away. Immediately. That might save his life someday, by the way. But follow through. This behavior results in consequences, and if you do this, this is the result. So he does it, and he's warned four, five, six times. You're not helping him. Be consistent and follow through. And by the way, I'll put this in there too. Be on the same page, mom and dad. Be on the same page, because if you're not, that isn't going to help the kids neither. Follow through. Don't give them 5 seconds to respond. When you say it, they need to respond. They need to learn that. Wise parents discipline in love, never in anger, with the purpose of helping the child. And remember this, discipline is the loving thing to do. Did God call you to be their friend or their parent? You're their parent first, right? They can be your friend later. But the loving thing to do is to discipline your kids. And there's levels of discipline. You instruct, you teach, you warn. You rebuke, you reprove. We're moving to these levels. There's physical discipline when necessary to curb the behavior. Because if they don't get it, they'll bring shame to you. They'll be a menace to society. They're going to face bigger consequences. And again, a warning to kids and really to all of us. And all this instruction can come, but kids, if you don't listen to your parents, if you don't respond to the discipline that you're getting, it's going to be hard on you. You will face consequences. So respond. Your parents are teaching you for a reason. They're guiding you for a reason. They're directing you for a reason. And God gave you parents for a reason. And we need to respond to that. And if we don't, the consequences get bigger. You don't want to face those. So respond to it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word that we have to guide us and direct us in discipline. Lord, I pray for those that have kids in their home. Give them wisdom, give them direction, give them insight. and which level to use and when. Help it to be always in love and under control and with the child's best interest in mind. Lord, I pray for our kids here that are going to, and they have a lot of growing up to do, a lot of things to face in this world, with a world that looks like it has a lot to offer. I pray for our kids. Just shape and mold their heart. Help them to see the love behind the discipline so they don't have to face bigger consequences. Lord, our desire, our goal in raising kids is to have more image bearers, to love you and to honor you and to glorify you. So I pray for each one of us as we have opportunity to invest in lives, but also in our own lives as we are under authority. Help us to respond in the right way for your glory and your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.